irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, February 8th.
Hey.
Good morning, Jen.
What's going on?
Okay. I don't know why I don't hear you loud enough.
You don't hear me?
No, I can hear you, but not loud enough because my headphones are not quite where they should be. Good morning.
Hey.
So you managed to get here with the fog and everything. It turned out to be like a winter day after two very hot weekend days.
You thought it was hot this weekend?
Yeah, I did.
Oh. Maybe here in the valley, downtown, it wasn't so much.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I mean, I was wearing short sleeve yesterday, so, cloudless skies, blue.
Yeah, it was nice.
You didn't see the same thing as me.
I mean, I saw that it was nice. It was still kind of chilly, though.
Valley does get hotter than other places.
Yeah, hotter and colder.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, well, what are you going to do?
Though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like the hot, but, whatever. When it gets to 100 degrees, it's too much,
Doesn't bother me.
No, you like heat.
I like the heat. I like the heat here.
Yeah.
Yeah. The lack of humidity.
Oh, I see. Bearable. Okay. Yeah.
Like when I actually had gone to Israel on birthright, there's dry heat there too. And I had come from New York City summer for right. 2 months because I went at the end of the summer. And when I got to Israel, it was there was a heat wave. So it was 105 degrees and I didn't even notice.
Really? Because in Israel, usually it is humid. That's why I'm surprised. Maybe you went somewhere where it wasn't.
Maybe.
Did you go to the desert or something?
We were all over.
Yeah.
Birthright takes you from the top to the bottom.
Right.
So, yeah, it was really
I'm
dry.
I'm surprised because I don't even remember, but people remind me that it's pretty humid there. So maybe comparatively speaking.
Yeah, maybe it's not New York.
It was dry. Yeah,
totally.
God, in that case, New York is pretty bad.
It's the worst.
Wow.
You're just swimming in soup all summer.
Jeez.
It's just soup.
Yeah. I don't know, man. What about Florida? Is that just as bad?
Yeah, that's pretty humid there,
really?
Too. Yeah. But at least it's like tropical and pretty. You're like, okay, I'm on vacation every day.
Right, and you wear shorts and short sleeves.
Exactly.
Stuff most of the time.
Exactly. In New York, you're like, oh, and in Florida, you get to like wear a nice outfit. You just get into your air-conditioned car, get to work, and then walk inside. In New York, you have your crossbody bag or a backpack, so everything's like sweaty and wrinkled all the time.
Oh, God.
You're out in it.
Yeah.
You're out in it all the time.
So you take a shower, and then you come out, and you're already sticky and everything.
Yeah, yours just sweat. I remember just sweating through my makeup constantly while I'm trying to put it on in the morning. Yeah.
Huh. Well, welcome to LA. I'm glad you're
here.
And you're in your element now.
I love it. I love it so much.
But I have to consider places because eventually I want to move out of here.
Mm.
So Florida does always come up, because it does have summery weather, like you said, tropical.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, tropical and things like that. But at the same time, it is kind of swampy in places, and
it's nice. It's really like keeping healthy. Yeah, for sure.
Isn't it different between the south and the north, though? Of
oh
Florida?
Yeah, different parts of Florida are so different. Like I lived in Orlando for 6 months, and that's not really even Florida.
Really?
Yeah.
It didn't feel like it.
I mean, it feels like Florida to somebody who doesn't live in Florida, but for the people who live in Florida, they're like, Orlando's not really Florida.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, well, what about Tampa or Jacksonville or up
that's,
north?
That's pretty Florida.
Really?
Yeah, I've been there too. Oh. I visited a friend there. It was nice. St. Pete.
But it's different Florida and Tampa.
It's totally different.
Different ocean, different everything.
Yeah, it's wacky out there too.
Yeah.
Wacky.
Oh, well. Yeah, and that's where the Super Bowl was yesterday in Tampa Bay.
I didn't get to watch it.
You didn't get to watch it all?
No.
How
I was
come?
Working.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. How
well,
was it?
Well, you know what? You didn't miss much.
Yeah. How were the commercials?
Well, I posted on Facebook. I said, game, commercials, meh. Halftime, nah.
Who was halftime? The Weeknd?
The Weeknd.
Okay.
But it was like underwhelming to everybody that said something about it, you know?
I don't feel like The Weeknd is... I like The Weeknd, but I don't think The Weeknd is Super Bowl...
Material. I agree with you.
Not because he's bad, but just it's not pizzazz. It's not...
And most people don't know him, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, younger
Especially
people do.
Especially a football crowd.
Right, you know? But younger people... I mean, I can't tell you how many people on Facebook are going, who is Weeknd? The Weeknd, you know? So I mean, I know him from a song, you know, can't move my face, whatever that,
sure,
can't feel my face.
Yeah, I just feel like Super Bowl,
I love that song.
Again, like, no shade to The Weeknd, love him, but I feel like for the Super Bowl, for that crowd of people, you should have the most mainstream artists possible,
right? You know,
like people that you would hear just randomly in a Rite Aid or the grocery store, or just songs that, like, everyone would probably know.
Right. More like classic people, you know? I mean, not classy, classical, I mean.
Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah.
Beyonce.
You know, yeah. Like, things like that. People know everybody, you know? And
Justin
And they're probably
going
to last a long time, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, The Weeknd, I like the way he sings. Don't get me wrong, you know? But he didn't have any stage presence, you know? And then he had all these dancers wearing, like, bandages over their heads. And that was pretty weird. And, so they're saying, they're explaining it and stuff. But it looked like underwear on their heads, you know, to all of them.
Oh, my God. Did they have any, like, COVID tributes or anything like that?
Nothing like that at all, you know. So he's explaining that the dance, where is it? The bandages are part of a sort of method acting move from the artist. I don't know. Method acting with the bandages?
Maybe.
I don't know. There was a different explanation here. Oh, the significance of entire head bandages is reflecting on the absurd culture of Hollywood celebrity and people manipulating themselves for superficial reasons to please and be validated. It's all a progression, and we watch the character storyline hit heightened levels of danger and absurdity as his tale goes on. Whatever.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
Okay, didn't convince me, but okay, whatever.
The Weeknd has this one song. I don't remember the name of the song, but it's one of the coolest music videos I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's all shot on a drone, and it's in point of view of robbers in a bank robbery. I'll show you after the show. It's a really, really cool video.
Do you know, you don't know what it's called, though? Blinded by the Light, Earned It, Face Surgery.
No, it's an older
boy.
One, I think.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know The Weeknd, let me play a song that you might know. He sang this one, part of it. He sang a few songs, but he didn't sing all of them or the entire songs.
And I know she'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb. And she'll always
this one
get
I like.
The best of me.
It's the only one I know.
Yet to come. But at least we'll both be beautiful and stay forever young. This I know. This I know. She told me don't worry about it. She told me don't worry no more. We both know we can't go without it. She told me you'll never be in love. I can feel my face when I'm with you. But I love it.
Okay, so you get the idea.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he is. I like this song a lot.
The bank robbery music video is called False Alarm.
False Alarm?
Yeah.
Okay, is that a good song? Or just... Cause
yeah.
Okay.
I don't
Yeah, because I don't know... we're not going to be able to see the video on the show, so let's at least hear it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's especially good after she smoked a little.
Yeah, there's the robbery. Okay, yeah, the video is good. It's like a bank robbery or something. But, yeah. In a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in, and he's got an interesting story, so we're going to hear that. And we're going to start having guests almost on every show. People are already wanting, you know, like a few weeks out already.
Yeah,
you know?
I love that.
We won't be here next week because Jen's going out of town to bring your cats back from New York.
Jersey. They're in Jersey.
They're in Jersey. Bring them back from Jersey.
They're born and raised New Yorkers, but they're Jersey kids right
now.
Do
they know that?
I think so.
Do they know they moved to Jersey?
You know, I keep like having this feeling. I'm like, what if they hate my apartment? What if they don't like it? But they lived in a 400 square foot studio with me in New York. I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
Yeah. I mean, they have been in like a 5-bedroom split level in Jersey, so they've had a ton of room to like run up and run down and run all over the place. So that'll be a change of scenery for them, and I just hope that they like my new place.
Yeah.
I hope they like it.
So they're indoor cats, I assume, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. There's a couple of outdoor cats out here on the street, and I always see them, and they're so cute, you know, and they don't care where they go. They just go everywhere, you know.
Yeah, totally.
In your yard, in your backyard, they climb on your fences, everything.
They make the rules.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I like cats. They're like, whatever you think this is, it's my call.
Right. Yeah. And you can put them anywhere. I mean, they can jump over fences and everything, you know.
Yeah, they're
a dog
athletes.
Is pretty much stuck, you know.
Yeah. The dogs, like, they're so stiff and they can't do anything.
Yeah.
Cats are so limber and
exactly. They have no boundaries, you know.
No, not at all. They just do what they want. I love that. It's so great.
Did you grow up with animals too?
We had hamsters because we all had allergies.
Oh, really?
I microdosed to get out of my allergy.
Wow.
Yeah. When I lived with my friend Samantha in New York, we made this rule. I was like, I want to move to New York and I would love to be roommates. I'm like, but you have to clean up after your cat. I was like, I need you to like sweep like frequently. I was like, I'm really allergic. And she was like, okay. I mean, we had a lot of disagreements as far as cleaning goes because she grew up with cleaning ladies and I grew up watching my mom clean and having to clean with my mom. So there's a big disconnect with people like that because they don't actually, she would like wipe the bathroom sink down and be like, okay, I clean the bathroom. And I'm like wiping it down with like a smushed piece of toilet paper is not cleaning the sink.
Yeah.
That's just wiping the
and
sink down.
And she's smearing everything probably.
Yeah, which should be like, you should be wiping the sink down all the time anyway. Yeah. And so she didn't clean up after the cat at all. It was like, we fought basically for the entire 2 years we lived together. We're good friends again, but don't live with your best friends. And I just loved her cat so much, and he loved me so much that I would just smush my face all over him before I'd go to bed. And eventually, I'm not allergic anymore.
Yeah. You see, when my kids grew up, they wanted animals. I was allergic, you know, like on a regular basis.
Yeah.
That sucked.
Yep.
But, I mean, they are cute. I can't deny it. You know?
So cute when they just look up at you with their little jelly eyes. Yeah. They're so cute, all shiny.
You know, when I grew up, there were a lot of cats. Nobody ever, I think, hardly owned cats because we had a lot of stray cats in the street. That's how they, at least they were. I don't know now in Israel. And so we always saw them, you know. And sometimes we were cruel to them as kids, and I hate it for having done that. But now, I mean, people post like pictures of cats are like hurt or abandoned or something. I can't even watch that.
I know.
I don't know why people put it up there, you know?
Just spreading awareness or asking for help.
Yeah.
I think kids are depressing mean. I hate kids.
Yeah.
I think they're evil little booger covered disgusting balls of germs. They gross me out so much. Whenever people say, oh, I love kids, I'm like, I like specific kids.
Right.
You know, just like I like specific people.
Right.
And specific animals.
Yeah.
You can't just like love everything. You just can't.
You can't.
I think kids are like so nasty. They're always picking their nose. They always like have to eat food with all of their fingers, like licking them all and then touching and smushing things and just feeling the textures of their macaroni and cheese between their fingers. I'm like, oh, my God, stop. I can't even watch it.
You stick with your cats. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
So great. I think when people have kids, they should like kids from like maybe the first year spend with the parent. But then I think they should like go on an island and learn how to be like a human with etiquette and manners.
Yeah.
And then when they're like 16 or 18, they can come back and rejoin their families.
Yeah.
You know, and then they would have appreciation for their families, too. And they would miss them and be like nicer, hopefully, or something.
Come on, let kids be kids, you know?
Yeah. Or I've been thinking about this one for a long time, is anyone between the ages of like newborn and 12 should have like a soundproof helmet on at all times.
Soundproof helmet.
So that nobody has to listen to like kids screaming.
I see.
Or like the stories where they're like, hey, I just wanted to tell you this story that my story. I'm like, oh my God, I can't listen
no
to
patience
this
to that,
any longer. It just takes so long to get a sentence out sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Kids. I know. I mean, look, kids are very cute. I don't know. I enjoyed raising kids and everything. When there are other people's and they scream, forget about it. I have no patience whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
When they're yours, it's different.
That's,
you know,
what they,
I mean,
say.
You can wipe their shit and all that stuff. It's not as bad as when it's somebody else, you know.
Yeah. I don't care as much about the poop as I do the boogers and the spit everywhere.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, we're going to change the topic now because we have a caller. Yeah. So much for that. Good morning. This is Sam and Jen. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Hello. You with us? Something happened to the...
It's Dennis.
Oh, Dennis. Yeah. Good morning. How are you, Dennis?
Hi.
Say hi to Jen.
I woke up again today, and yeah. As Paul McCartney would say, maybe I'm amazed.
You're amazed at what?
I'm amazed that I woke up again.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, that's true, right? I mean, I know people say prayers in the morning when they're waking up because they consider sleeping like half death, you know, because, you know, other than breathing and stuff, you look like you're dead when you're sleeping.
Pretty much, yeah.
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 Very cool. Well, we're glad you woke up, Dennis. And you contacted me on Facebook. You wanted to come on. You said you have a story. And where are you calling us from this morning, Dennis?
Huntington Beach.
Huntington Beach, California. Oh, wow.
Yes.
It's pretty cool. And have you lived there all your life?
I'm sorry, what was that, Sam?
Have you lived there all your life, Dennis, in Huntington Beach?
Oh yeah. Well, not 100% yet because of some physical problems I still have. But Huntington Beach, I mean, I was raised on the East Coast.
Right.
And I've got to tell you, I've been to about 10 beaches on the East Coast.
Right.
And Huntington Beach is the nicest beach I've ever seen in my life.
Wow, that's saying a lot, really.
Where on the East Coast did you grow up?
Grew up in Philadelphia.
Nice, I'm from Cherry Hill.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Cherry Hill.
Okay, that's
neighbors.
Right in the area.
Yeah.
Well, a little bit about beaches. My father in his younger years was a lifeguard in Wildwood, New Jersey.
Yes.
And Wildwood, New Jersey on the East Coast is like the place to go for a beach.
Right.
And what the heck, you know, Huntington Beach is, you know, it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
I have a hard time comparing them mentally.
Yeah.
I mean, East Coast and West Coast beaches are so different.
Right. They really are, you know.
Yeah.
And we associate our coast with surfers and...
Yeah, and we associate ours with Jersey Shore clientele.
Yeah. True that.
You know, that is one thing that's so different out here. I'm a surfboarder, and out here in Huntington Beach, it's like amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
On the East Coast, you see like boogie boards.
Really?
Yeah,
yeah.
That's about it.
Well, this
that's,
is where it's
that's
happening.
That's exactly right.
Nothing
boogie
like California.
Boards, when I was a boy, we used to use a raft, inflatable raft.
Right.
Yeah, and hope you didn't get washed too far out.
Yeah.
Yeah, hope Jaws didn't get you.
Yeah, yeah. So, Dennis, tell me something. You told me you have a story. You said you almost died. Is that true? Do I remember correctly?
Oh, no. It's true. It's true.
Really? So tell us what happened.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Well, I'll give you the rundown here.
Okay.
I'm crossing the street in Laurel, Maryland, where I had an office.
Right.
And it's November 14th of the year 2012.
Right.
9 o'clock in the morning. I got ran over by a car.
Wow. You're crossing the street
really.
And...
I suffered traumatic brain injury, a broken back, and a crushed pelvis.
Wow.
Three doctors told my son that I was going to die.
Right.
Those doctors never want to see me again.
Yeah, that's true. Wow.
Sir, they were proven wrong. A fourth doctor told my wife that I would never walk again.
Jeez.
So you can add him to that list.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the beat just went on. We had a daughter living out here in Huntington Beach, so my wife just decided, let's go out to Huntington Beach. Right. And that's when my whole, this part of my journey started. You know, and, you know, I want to get built up and I'm watching TV. And all of a sudden, somebody turns the lights out in my brain. I had suffered a severe brain seizure. Okay? Mm. And they operated on my brain at Hoge Hospital, and they installed brain shunt, a valve, and a catheter in my brain.
Jeez.
Oh, my gosh.
Whoa.
So, you know, I just sort of, you know, I woke up, you know, and I said, okay, what do you do now? And my walking and all that stuff hadn't gotten back to where I wanted to be and stuff, so I just kept moping around the house. Mm-hmm. I actually used to have a coffee table in front of me, and I would give myself a little goal of how many laps I could do around the coffee table. Mm-hmm. I mean, about 2 years ago, I recovered from the shunt being put in my brain. Mm-hmm. About 2 years ago, I'm getting my hair cut, and the barber, she hit something in a right corner of my skull.
Right.
And I jump out of the chair. So I come home. I ask my wife, hey, Deb, I got this little bump back here in my skull. Check it out, will you? She won't come close to the
place. Yeah.
So my son takes a picture of it. What is it? It's the top of a Phillips head screw.
A what?
Oh, wow. The top of a Phillips head screw.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I go back to Hoge Hospital, and another neurosurgeon operates on me, and he takes out two Phillips head screws and a titanium plate.
Jeez. So this is all stuff they put in your head.
After the operation, the doctor comes in to me. He says, how you feeling? I said, I feel great, doctor. Thank you very much. He said, well, we need to have another operation. I said, come on, doc, give me a break.
Right.
He said, Mr. Jordan, the right side of your skull, part of it has died.
Wow.
We need to extract that part of your skull and replace it.
Oh, my God.
So that was another major operation at Hoge Hospital, where they took part of my skull off and then replaced it. Now, here's the big question. What did they replace it with? They replaced it with a piece of Kevlar. Now, for your listeners out there, they use Kevlar and bulletproof vests.
Right.
Mm.
So after that four-hour operation, doc comes in, says, hey, man, how you doing? I said, doctor, I'm doing great. You did a great job, but I got one little suggestion or one little request. He says, what's that? I said, now, I just want to get this strong right side of my skull. He said, yeah, that's correct. You got it correct. I said, well, do me a favor. Wait. He said, well, I said, we make sure my wife is on that side of me.
Tell me something. Were you unconscious after the accident for an extended period?
You know, I ask a lot of questions with my family. Apparently, I was in two comas, okay?
Right.
And, you know, I woke up, obviously, and did my thing, and I was in a wheelchair. Yeah, I see pictures of these. I mean, I just go nuts. No pun intended. But I was in a wheelchair for a year? Then I graduated, so to speak, to what they call is a walker.
Sorry to interrupt. You're breaking up a little bit. Are you in an area with some bad signal?
No. Should be fine.
Yeah, you're cutting out a little bit. You know what? Let me.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Let me. I tell you what. Let's hang up. Let me call you back. Maybe we'll get a better line when I call you. Okay. So
okay,
give me a
fine.
Second. All right.
I'm in the living room. Signal here should be.
Yeah. No, you're cutting out. It's really hard to make out what you're saying, and I don't want to miss a word you're saying. So let's try that. Okay.
I'll be waiting.
Yeah. I'll call you right back. All right. Wow, what a story, huh?
I know.
Jeez, man, oh that scares the hell out of me, man. You know? Wow. All right. How come his number is not on the recent calls? Oh, come on. Don't give me that now. How am I going to call him?
Oh, no.
Yeah. It didn't register on the recent calls. I'm trying to see all calls here. All calls. Oh, wow. Okay, well, call us right back.
Do you have
Dennis?
Message him on Facebook or something?
No, I can't message him anywhere. Let me, maybe I'll email him real quick. Okay, I'll tell him call us back. Wait. Okay, this is weird, right? I mean,
so
you tell
weird.
The man you're going to call.
Yeah.
Oh, I wrote this to myself. Great. Oh, man. Man, man, man. Computers, you know?
I know. So the same thing happened to me the other day. I was ordering something online that I've been saving on my list for like 2 weeks, and I kept it. And then I finally went to buy it yesterday, and it disappeared. And I had to search the whole website for it. It wasn't in my recent searches. It wasn't in my history. I'm like, come on. I'm literally looking at this last night.
Right.
I couldn't find it. But
isn't it irritating?
So irritating.
You know, I mean, what the hell is wrong with all this technology? And it makes me crazy because, you know, I mean, this is 2021. You know, we should have been over all these things.
That's what I think. That's you know? What I shouldn't have issues with my Wi-Fi. I shouldn't be having dropped calls around Los Angeles. Like, it's not like this is a hole-in-the-wall city. Like, this is one of the biggest cities in the world.
Right.
We should have perfect signal. I shouldn't be have dropped calls all the time.
Right. You know, or you get programs that save your passwords, and they work except when...
Oh, don't get
me
started.
Yeah. Here he goes. He's calling back. Dennis, you there? Dennis, you with us? Something's going on with the network. What the hell? Dennis, are you there? Can you hear us? See, I'm trying to answer it. I don't know what's going on. Why is this happening during the show? Why is this happening during the show? Why? Why? Save me from this.
Definitely
save me from this.
I know, it's the worst.
Right.
If anything can activate my rage, it's technology.
Right? I'm telling you. Okay. Yeah, it's not letting me call. I don't understand this at all.
Dennis, call us again.
Yeah, here we go. Maybe I can reach him with this wonderful line. Yeah, now it's ringing. I don't know what's going on.
Hello?
Dennis. Oh, we finally get you. You there, Joe? Cool. Now we got you back. Thank you. Okay, so we were talking about you. You said you woke up and what? What happened then from your coma?
Well, part of the whole brain injury thing and stuff like that is I've lost a lot of memory around when it happened, okay?
Right.
So I don't remember a lot, although I do remember how tough it was, the whole physical struggle. Right. You know, the fact that my brain had to communicate with certain parts of my body. Yeah. I mean, just think about how weird that could be. I mean, you know, you live your life, you're a kid, you're doing this, playing these games, that games, you know, and all of a sudden, you just don't move.
Right.
You know,
jeez.
I read stories about people, you know, paraplegics, things like that. Kept trying to work at it. And now I'm 85%.
Very good, man. Congratulations, man.
It's been eight years, but what the heck?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Now, were you a time where people had to, like, feed you and things like this, like hand feed you and all that, where you couldn't do anything for yourself?
I'm in the stage right now where I do a lot of my own stuff, from, you know, for myself.
Right.
My wife of 48 years still cooks meals and does the laundry and things like that.
Wow.
So, you know, but that's all sort of natural. I was used to that.
Right.
I don't drive a car yet. I'm working on that.
Yeah.
And
you able to walk, Dennis?
Pardon me?
Are you able to walk? You said something about the doctor saying you'll never walk again.
I'm able to walk. I'm able to walk very good. I'll give an example. Very good. I walk about 4 miles a day.
Wow.
Great.
That's very good.
Yeah, that's good for you. I don't even do that.
What I'm trying to do, and here's where the communication between my brain and nervous system comes. I want to be able to run again. Now I can try. I can run on a treadmill, but I cannot run independently.
Right.
And I used to run a lot. I'll give you an idea, definition of a lot. In 1982, I actually competed in and completed nonstop the Philadelphia Marathon.
Wow.
So I know what running's all about.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty good
achievement. And that's one of my little goals again there. You know, I always use the word goal because what the heck, you know, you get that close to being dead, you know, you wake up and, okay, what am I going to do next? That was natural.
Yeah. Jeez, man.
Wow.
That's scary. You know, that stuff scares me. And that's why I don't ride bikes on the street. You know, we don't walk a lot in L.A., so I don't have that to worry about. But, God, man, that's life-changing completely. And you're so fortunate to be able to live, a normal life now, you know, because people get brain injury and they're vegetables for life.
Dennis, I want to know what you would want to tell anyone who is in a similar position to what you've gone through, who might not have had as much progress at this point. What kind of advice would you give them?
Great question there. Number one, one of my favorite words, and this goes back to high school, has always been diligence.
Right.
Mm.
And that just segues into the fact, just don't give up.
Yeah.
I mean, you see commercials on TV. I mean, some of these people and what they've been through, I mean, people will look at me and say, Dan, you've been through so much. I feel sorry for some of these people I've seen. I mean, I'll give you an example. 2 years ago, I was at the Angel City Games at UCLA. And I was there for a particular reason. That was to give golf lessons to people who wanted them.
Right.
I see this little boy running a 40-yard dash.
Uh-huh.
This little boy had no legs or no feet, just prosthetics. He was about 12 years old.
Jeez.
So I just put my injured brain to work. I said, I gotta meet this boy.
Yeah.
And I met him. His name was Joshua. I gave him a great lesson, and he just thanked me for doing what I did.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just, I see people like this, and my brain just says one thing, help them.
Yeah. True.
And that's what I'm trying to do.
Good for you, Dennis.
I love
Very
that.
Inspiring story. You know, we really appreciate you sharing it with us, and I'm extremely happy that you're able to talk now and live a life, you know, where you can actually help people, like you said, you know, so... kudos to you for that. Congratulations on that. And that's it, Dennis. Any parting thoughts you want to give people before we hang up? Because we are out of time completely. And I just wanted you to summarize everything you told us.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity. And if you need some help, just give me a call. Simple.
Give you a call? Okay. What's your phone number?
714-719-3045.
Sounds good. 714-719-3045. Call Dennis. He'll help you. He'll give you a nice perspective on life. And I mean, brain injury is probably the worst thing because
you just nailed it.
Yeah,
perspective on life.
Right, right.
Thank you so much, Dennis.
All right, Dennis, all the best to you. Thanks again.
And thank you. Thanks for
reaching out. Okay.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
I know. You know, I can't stop thinking of like when I had my stroke, how close I was to something like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to just being like having brain injury and stuff. And, you know, we're not out of the woods yet. You never know what the fuck's going to happen.
Anything can happen at any time. And I mean, every time I feel a tingle in my head, I'm like, here comes the brain aneurysm I've been afraid of that I had since I was 5.
Oh, God.
But I know. Even when I was a kid, like my mom's a nurse and my mom has always said to my siblings and I when we were fighting, not the head, like stop whacking each other on the head. She's like, something happens to your head. That's it. That's the end of you, you know? So I've always been afraid of a lot of things, but especially brain injuries and, you know, with my dad and his neurodegenerative stuff and
brain stuff
really freaks me out. And I feel like they know the least about it.
Right. No, that's true, you know. And I mean, we don't encourage people to live in fear, but at the same time, you know, it's in the back of your mind all the time.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, I mean, I said I don't ride on the street. I don't even... Lately, I haven't been getting the ball on my head, but I thought, well, next time...
You never know.
Yeah, you know? And I don't want to take those chances. I know.
After it's not like close... we're 6 years old and we fall off a bike and we get up and we're like, oh, I scraped my knee. Like,
right.
You know, I started roller skating and I'm afraid I'm going to land on my knees. And I have really healthy knees because I do a lot of like rehabilitation on them. But, you know, I mean... I'm not saying I'm old, but I'm not a 10-year-old anymore, you know?
Exactly.
Like,
that's what I'm thinking.
If I get injured, then I can't work or it's difficult to work or something, you know? So
I know. It's not like when we're kids, you know, and you don't think about it because you've always taken these chances. You've always, you know, ridden bikes, walked on the street, whatever, you know, and then suddenly you go, you know, if I fall, it could be the last time.
Yeah.
So,
I know, knock on wood, I've never broken a bone.
Yeah, I know, neither have I, you know. And
I mean, I feel like I've probably broken a toe or something. Maybe I've like smashed it on something and didn't know. Like my baby toe's probably been broken before.
But you know what? If it was broken, you'd know. Because people say when it's broken, it's like...
Purple.
Well, no, I mean, the pain is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well...
So yeah,
I've cracked bones before. I cracked a rib.
Really?
Yeah, I was in a bike, not a motorcycle, a bicycle accident. I was riding really fast uphill. It was an old bike. It was my mom's old vintage bike, and I guess it just hadn't been. We had been repairing stuff on it, but the chain popped off. My feet slammed to the ground. The pedals slammed against my shin, locking me on the bike. I skid forward probably like 6 feet, and then flipped over 2 or 3 times. Landed on my side and then continued to spin across like a black tar road, the opening of a street. And when I got up, I had like pools dripping blood down my arm and, you know, the adrenaline's going. So you don't always feel what's happening. But I had to walk home because the bike was really messed up. And the next morning I woke up and I went to stand up and I fell out of bed. My knees were really swollen. And once the swelling went away, I was fine. This is actually a weird story. I'll make it fast because I know we're out of time. But like a week.
No, we got time.
Like maybe 5 to 7 days after, I was at work. I was waitressing and I was holding a drink tray with a couple drinks on it. And I kept noticing like my sternum was like really hurting. Like the muscle in my chest was really, really hurting. And it was like taking my breath away. And I got to a point where I was like, as soon as my shift was over, I drove myself to the hospital. Yeah. And I had my Mustang at the time and it had like no power steering because it was like old. Oh, so I'm like turning the wheel. It was like so hard. It hurt so much. And when you go into the hospital and you say chest pain, whether it's muscular or otherwise, they take you in right away.
Right.
So I go into the ER stuff trying to figure out what's going on. And I look across and you can see it was like open rooms. And I look across and my dad's in the bed across from me. And I was like, what?
Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah. So I just kind of like pulled all my stuff off and like ran over to him because I was just like so shaken that he was there. And we didn't know he was there.
Really?
No, we didn't know.
How did he end up there without you guys knowing?
He was living in a facility and had a fall. And so they sent him to the hospital.
Oh, I see.
And they hadn't let us know yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeez. So that was crazy.
Whoa.
Yeah.
How weird.
I didn't even know he was there. I literally just looked up and was like, Dad? Like, wait a minute. But it turns out I cracked a couple of ribs and I had torn the muscle in my down the center of my spine.
Oh, my God, man. That's like too much.
Yeah.
Too much.
I wasn't allowed to pick anything up. My doctor was like, don't even pick up a pair of jeans. Like, yeah. That's too much. And that's the thing. Like, you can put a cast on a ring. When something happens to your torso, there's... You can't do anything.
Yeah.
Just have to let it.
Or to your brain. You
yeah,
know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, to other things, we've been talking too much about injuries and shit like that.
Death, kind of dying, depressing. Pain.
We probably lost a few listeners out the way. But so just talking about the Super Bowl, you know, we don't want to ignore the fact that Tom Brady has won 7 Super Bowls. And,
okay, so his team won.
Yeah.
Of course.
Tampa Bay. Yeah, I mean, would you gamble against him? You know?
No.
I wouldn't bet against him, you know, no matter what.
I wonder if he's nice or if he's a total jerk.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I have no idea. But he seems nice.
Yeah.
Seems nice. Yeah, he always smiles and he talks to people and stuff. I don't know. What the hell do I know, you know? But no, I was thinking about this. I thought, you know, someone like that has to be a leader. And when you're a leader, you're not so nice, but no.
I wonder what he's going to do after being like...
Yeah, there's
like,
nothing left. That's why he moved to a team that was losing
yeah.
and made them win the Super Bowl, you know?
Even when
that's
he's on his last
deal.
Leg, he's going to find the worst team and still make them better.
Right, you know?
Oh, to be Tom Brady. I want to come back always... in my next life as Tom Brady.
Yeah, right? I know. Just for Gisele Bündchen.
Well.
Just for her alone, I would come back.
Just so I can look like that.
Yeah.
You
She's
know?
40 years old. Do you believe it?
40's looks, not that old, though.
No, but I mean, she's been around since she was like in her yeah. early 20s, probably.
Yeah.
So time flies.
Time flies.
Hmm.
Yeah.
No, I mean, she looks 40, but... and it's not old, of course, but
you know,
it's not 25 either.
They did this test, and it was a graph of women as they age, what ages they're attracted to, and it was pretty level to around their age. You know, most
yeah.
women were attracted to men of similar age, whereas they did a test on men, and men as they aged were still attracted to like 17 to 23 year olds. It just like didn't change.
It doesn't change.
It stayed
it
the same.
It doesn't change. You know, I'm telling you, it's true. That's why it's hard for me to find a woman, you know, because
yeah.
in like in their 50s, they're not attractive to me. I mean, there's many, many women in their 50s that are very attractive.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, on all the apps, if I do match with someone, I mean, matching meaning that they like my pictures or something, not that I swiped right on
yeah.
them, you know, like Hinge or something.
Yeah. It's not the ones you're into.
No, and the ones
same.
I try to match don't ever happen.
Same.
You know? So I don't know. I'm surprised with you, though, because in your age group, it's like that's all they do is date, you know?
I have a nightmare.
Places, I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. Like, my friend and I are talking about actually writing a book about dating in our age group because we go on dates and then we discuss our experiences and... all the other people I've talked to, women especially in my age group, and look, I know it's difficult out there for men sometimes too, so I'm not saying men have it easy at all, but I'm just
right.
saying the common vein is that, you know, it's like there's no way anymore to tell if someone's into you. People will act like they're completely into you. Like my friend just had this date where this guy, you know, they went on this amazing date. They really connected deeply. He's like a self-awareness guru podcast kind of guy, and she's like a yoga instructor, essential oils of self-awareness kind of person. They both go to therapy. They're just really into that kind of thing, which I think is great. So they have this amazing date. He has this like private section, dining section, and they have this amazing date. They're connecting. And, you know, he drops her off in an Uber at her place. They share an amazing kiss and they both talked about how amazing it was and then it needed to happen again. And then he called her that night when he got home and he was like, tonight was so amazing. I can't believe how amazing you are. This, this, and that. And then they had one more date and he was saying the same stuff. And then out of the blue, he was like, hey, do you want to have a phone call? And she was like, yeah, sure. They hop on the phone and he was like beating around the bush. And she goes, I don't know what you're saying. And he's like, well, I don't want to see you again.
Whoa.
You know?
Yeah.
And she's like, I feel like the rug got pulled out from under me.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, first of all, we got to stop laying down the rug. And second of all, like, it's just confusing. Like, I've been on so many dates where the dudes were like, you haven't seen the last of me, or let's definitely hang out again. And then I'm like, okay, cool. When are we hanging out? And they're like, actually, I just really need to work on myself and focus on myself.
So they get like cold feet or something, or change their minds for some reason.
I guess so. Or people are people pleasers and they just don't know how to say they're not into something.
Either that, or maybe they meet someone else in the meantime too, you know. Don't underestimate that.
Because, no, I'm not at all. But right, it's because so people consistent. Stay,
yeah, I mean, even when they meet someone, they stay on the apps, you know.
Totally. I mean, I do. Right? You know, I do. My friend does too. But it's like it's just so consistently that way, you know, for so many of us. Everyone's like, yeah, the date went great. All these things we have in our head of like different gestures they make or things they say or mannerisms they have that would allude to the fact that they are interested are no longer reliable.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty lousy, man.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Maybe it's the age groups. I don't know. You know,
I think it is too. And I think it's that on the apps, there's always somebody better. There's always somebody better looking with a better job. And then, you know, some date in probably like 6 years. Conversation was flowing. We were both laughing and joking. But he was still in a position where I was more, when I was living in New York, where I was mostly serving tables and I wasn't doing all the, you know, film gigs that I want to do. And so when I would talk to people when I was in that point in my life who were doing what I wanted to do, I was feeling kind of self-conscious about it or kind of bad about myself or down on myself for it. And now I'm not where I want to be completely, but I'm light years away from where I was. And I think when we were discussing work stuff on the date, I could see him feeling like kind of self-conscious that like I was more in a position potentially that he wanted to be in. And I think that kind of weirded him out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it could be a million reasons, you know.
A million reasons.
That people don't really get that's what happens. It's like you have too much to choose from, you know, and then people are just like it. You could find people from all over the world. You're pretty much confined to your geographical area, you know, when it came to potential mates and things like that, you know. You know, school, work.
Who you met just out with friends.
Exactly. Or your circle of friends would maybe try to match you with someone.
Yeah.
But so you gave people more a chance and time, you know, because you figured if I, you know, maybe I won't find anybody if I don't make this work, you know. Today, people don't care really, you know.
And it's people are also really screwed up on how much communication should be happening. Right. Like back in the day, it's like you met somebody, you waited, your phone rang, you answered the landline, you had a conversation, and then you weren't sitting there texting every day. You know, and so now we have this new iteration of how I'll hear from him today. And for me, I don't expect a guy to text me every day, and I hope he doesn't expect me to text him every day. Right. In fact, the guys that I have talked to who have given me shit for not texting them over a certain day, they're like, oh, well, I guess you're just not into me anymore. I'm like, why? Because I didn't talk to you on Tuesday. I'm like, I was working a 16-hour day. I don't expect you to talk to me every day. So people just have this...
And especially in the beginning too, right?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, and a lot of my friends are gauging how interested a guy or a girl is into them based on how often they're talking to them. And I'm like, we don't need to be like, because it's not only text, it's texts or calls or voice memos, or it's like liking photos on Instagram or like messaging on somebody's story on Instagram. Like there's so many avenues of communication now that I feel like saturated by a person who's like over communicating to me. So I kind of like, I back off a lot on dating because it's overwhelming. A couple times a week, I want to go on one or two dates a week. I want to very slowly get to know each other. I'm not here to just suddenly incorporate somebody into my life. I don't expect somebody else to incorporate me into their life. I just like want to meet somebody that their company is interesting to me and they feel the same. That's my only expectation.
So it's a question of where you are in life, you know, because I don't think these people may be like that all the time, but maybe you just meet them when you guys are at a different point in your lives, you know?
Yeah.
When he wants somebody all the time and you don't.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that he's wrong and you're right or vice versa. It's just that there's no match.
We're not on the same page. Yeah, totally.
Exactly. You're not at the same point in your life. You're not looking for the same things.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's my age group too, and the younger age groups, like everyone's so used to communicating and in some way, even if it's sending a meme or sending a joke or sending a picture and have to write somebody back constantly. Yeah. I definitely don't want to be in that phase where you're just like texting paragraphs and paragraphs to each other. Oh my God.
Do you let them know early on though that you feel that way?
I like to see how it pans out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if somebody is really into that, I don't want somebody to change how they are for me. I just want to meet somebody who is naturally on the same page.
Right. Now, do you think maybe this happens because you're not that into them? Do you think if you...
No, if I was really into them, I'd be fine.
Yeah?
I'd be fine.
You wouldn't want more communication even if you're really into them?
If I'm into them, it's cool if they just text me like, hey, just thinking of you, but I don't want you to say...
Yeah, don't complain.
Yeah, but I don't want to just... I don't want to be trapped into like, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm at work. We're doing this. Da-da-da. Okay, cool. I was just thinking about da-da-da-da-da. And then 4 hours go by and they just send a bunch of question marks because I haven't responded. And I'm like, I don't need to... I've been literally working. Like when I'm on set, I don't have time to respond.
Right.
I just straight up don't. Right. So I just need to find somebody who is as equally busy and as equally interested in their work as I am, so that when their day is over or they start their day and they're like, hey, I'm going to be... Sometimes I'll say that. I'm like, hey, I have a crazy day ahead of me. Just wanted to say hi. I'm going to be off the grid today. I'll hit you up tomorrow or something.
Right, yeah.
Or we'll talk tomorrow.
Right.
You know? And if somebody said that to me, I'd be like, yeah, cool. I appreciate that, you know?
Yeah. I know. So to have to deal with that on top of it being hard to find someone where you have chemistry and everything.
Totally.
It makes it very complicated, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I met this dude on this last set I was on, and like, there was so much chemistry. We were talking the whole time. And my friend I was working with, she tried to talk to him a couple times just to see if he'd bite. Mm-hmm. She was like, he wouldn't even have a conversation with me. And we just like talked for probably 45 minutes one of the days when they were filming. And it was like a lot of downtime. And he asked for my number before we left set. And he was like, oh, you're a producer. He's like, I'll have to get your number so we can like work on some stuff. And I was like, okay, cool. So like a week went by. I didn't hear from him. My roommate was like, you got to reach out. So I sent him a text and I was like, hey, like what's going on? Da, da, da. There was like no conversation.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he responded, but he was like, I'm tired. I'm going to bed. I was like, cool.
That was it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
It's like good talk, bro.
Yeah. Jeez, man.
Yeah.
That's pretty shitty.
Yeah.
So, and finally, I mean, we're out of time, but I wanted to bring this up that I guess Tesla announced they're going to be accepting Bitcoin. So imagine what that did to Bitcoin's value today.
Wow.
It hit 43,000.
Wow.
Which is pretty high, you know.
Yeah.
For Bitcoin. So if you guys are looking to invest, there's a place to invest, although, you know, you're always going, well, everybody's already seen this up, you know,
yeah,
at its highest. So
definitely.
So that's what investing is all about. You got to be there before everybody else gets there.
That's the truth.
All right, everybody. Jen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll see you here on Wednesday.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.